Bismillah, alhamdulillah, peace be with you. Welcome to the Dean Show. Today we're going to be talking about a book like no other book. And this book, when you live by it, you adhere to it, calls you to nothing but goodness, calls you to the purpose of life, gives you peace, prosperity. And you know what? When you're down and out, and it just feels like this life is just, you know what? It's taking its toll on me. And you're on the antidepressants, and you're suicidal, but why? Because you don't have purpose. This book illustrates, explains lucidly the purpose of life and gives you hope that it's not just about this life. There's also a better life waiting, and it describes it in detail. It's a miraculous book. You read all other kinds of books. This is the book that at the end of this show, God willing, you're going to be excited to go and read this book, get this book, the Quran. We'll be right back to talk about the verbatim word of the creator of the heavens and the earth, the Quran, here on the Dean Show. Don't go anywhere.
This is the Dean Show.
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 This is the Dean Show. This is the Deen Show.
Peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
How you doing, Sheikh?
Alhamdulillah, beautiful.
Is it true that you can get off the antidepressants? You can get off of all the pharmaceuticals, God willing, and you know, because many people are depressed. Not a great majority, you know. We're advancing in technology, but you know, immorality's on the rise, depression's on the rise, suicide's on the rise. Mm-hmm. Is this the antidote to all of these things, this Quran?
Definitely, inshallah, by the will of Allah, because there's nothing better than the words of the creator of the heavens and the earth. That's the cure. And we challenge. This is a challenge, because that's what says in the Quran. وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ شِفَاءٌ وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْنِينَ We brought down in the Quran what is cure and mercy to the believers. So it cures, inshallah, by the will of Allah, all of our problems.
How can people be sure now, okay? How can they be sure that this Quran is just not some other book, that it's indeed from the Creator? Because sometimes it's hard to fathom and imagine. What did God sit there writing a book? You know, did it just drop from the sky? You know, people start to think like this and they're like, you know, how is this possible?
Right.
How can they be sure?
Right. God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, spoke the Quran, and the Quran was revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam throughout 23 years. And it's a book that starts and ends from first chapter to the end. And it's a miraculous words of the Creator of the heavens and the earth that the humanity were challenged to bring the like of not just the whole Quran, this was, yes, mentioned some verses, but to bring the like of one surah, one chapter, if it's correct to say that. But a surah, the smallest one in the Quran, can fit in one line. If they can bring up the like of it, if it's the work of human beings, then do that. And nobody is there to even to do that whatsoever. It's a miraculous words linguistically. What's the information, what has been mentioned there, all the different orders, the stories. It's a miraculous book from all sorts and means. And that's why we as Muslims, when we call people to get to know about the religion of Islam, we call them to read the Quran. We don't have anything that we hide. There's no hidden agendas in our religion. We have our book. This is the book that we follow. And please read it, right? And if anybody's intimidated to read a book, then there's something wrong, definitely. Read the book, because God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ إِنَّمَا أُنذِرُكُمْ بِالْوَحْيِ Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I warn you by the wahy, by the revelation from Allah. So we need, all of us, Muslims and non-Muslims, everybody, we need to really read the Quran. But for Muslims, we have even more rights that we have to observe towards the Quran.
Now, I like to always make a contrast to look at, for instance, because people claim that the Bible is the inspired, you know, word of God, that the authors were inspired, they started to write. But many academics, people who were former Christians, you know, I'm going to take it to a clip right now so people can see.
Some places it looks like it's a manipulation of the text, where the author wants to change, where the scribe wants to change what the author said. I mean, in many cases it may be that the scribe thought this is what the author really meant, and so he changed it. But sometimes the text gets changed to say just the opposite of what it originally said. And so that can be a little bit troubling, yeah. But as I engaged in historical research on the Bible, as I was getting my PhD in New Testament studies at Princeton Theological Seminary, I started finding mistakes in the Bible. And this cut away at my assumptions that the Bible was inerrant. And then I started questioning other parts of my faith. Is Jesus really divine? Is there really a Trinity? Well, this is an interesting thing that the we think when we read the Bible that we're obviously reading the words that Matthew wrote or that Paul wrote, but the reality is we don't have the originals of Matthew or of Paul's letters or of any other book of the New Testament or of the Old Testament.
So we had this one of the leading Bible scholars in the world today, Dr. Bart Arum. He was an evangelical Christian, and he was born again. And then he went to Princeton, got his doctorate, and now he teaches. And he says that the Bible today, we don't have a copy of a copy of a copy of a copy of anything original. It's been changed, scribed sometimes deliberately, sometimes intentionally, sometimes by mistake. But basically, they changed the book. So now, thinking people, they're like, hey, if it happened to this book, it probably happened to the Quran. What do we got to say?
We believe that we believe in all the books of Allah, the Torah, the Bible. These are books from Allah, words of the Creator of the heavens and the earth. But human beings have been entrusted to save it. But as the fact with all human beings, they change and they do things in a corrupted way, so things has been changed. It doesn't mean that every single thing in the Bible or in the Old Testament is changed, but many things have been changed. Then the last final messenger to all mankind, which is the Quran, God Himself, Allah the Most High, promised that He would save the book and nothing will be altered or changed in it. And that by itself is a miracle. 1400 years, more than 1400 years ago, and the Quran with every single letter of it. It's not like these funny people, they say they discovered on the ground a transcript of the Quran. Quran has been saved, not how you would find a book under the ground. The Quran has been saved in the hearts of the people from one generation to the other. It's the only book on the face of earth that millions of people, they have it memorized by heart. Nobody, even the Pope, memorized the Bible, right? But the Quran, you'd find a child 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, memorized the whole Quran, memorization from the beginning to the end. And even his language, his mother tongue is not Arabic, but he has it memorized. Where is that in the world? Mm-hmm. You have a book written in Arabic, a totally foreign language to you, and you would memorize it word by word, over 600 pages, right? Memorize it by heart. And if somebody makes a mistake, you would correct him at any position, any place. This by itself is a miraculous thing.
We know the book is not, the Quran, the verbatim word of God, is not a book of science, but it's a book of signs. So anyone who looks at it, they'll see that this is indeed a sign from the Creator. But you do have science in there, because many people fled religious persecution because, for instance, the Bible, we make a contrast. We're not trying to disparage on anybody, but it's a fact that you have unscientific statements in there. So scientists that were coming up, intellectuals, they're like, hey, this contradicts science. Does the Quran do the same thing?
Never whatsoever. Why? Because it's from the Creator of the heavens and the earth. So the signs that are mentioned in the book about some of the creation of Allah, the oceans, the mountains, and so on, it's all facts. And that's why we have to differentiate between what is theory. People had theories in the past, and they thought that this is so much certain and true, when they change it later on. But facts in life, you would find it never contradicting with what's in the Quran. And that's why there are many things that mention the Quran about the creation of Allah that people need to go and to see for themselves that this really fits the nature of what God created things, and these people something didn't know maybe 200 years ago.
This is truly amazing. I mean, just if people would just take the time out and be sincere and look into this, look into the purpose of life. Does it clearly explain the purpose of life in this book? Is it a believable message? Because people also go away from following many of these man-made religions because it just don't make sense.
Right. Quran frees you as a human being from being enslaved to others, slave to another human being, slave to your own desires, and slave to the pressure of the world that we live in. Frees you from all of that and makes you a real servant to the Creator of the heavens and the earth. Call you to worship none but the Creator of the heavens and the earth alone. Rely with your heart on Him. He's the one that you turn to whenever you are in need of anything. He's the one that you worship, right? And you look things in the right perspective. And He's the most wise. That means He created us for a purpose. And then this life is nothing but a test. And after this life is the hereafter, people will be either in Jannah, paradise, or the hellfire. So it sets the goals for the human being in everything that they do very clearly. Everybody can understand.
Very clear, very lucid, very understandable, pragmatic. It makes sense. We'll be right back with more, talking about the verbatim word of God, the Quran. Pick it up, read it. Right back here on The Dean Show. Here on The Dean Show, talking about the verbatim word of God, the Quran. This is not a book of just fairy tales, something that Muhammad concocted. This is indeed from the Creator. Anyone takes a look, analytical, scientific approach, they examine it, they'll conclude that it is indeed from the Creator. We contrast it to the Bible, which we don't have a copy of anything original, obviously. And many Christians don't know this. But if they look at it, you know, and they research, they'll see that this is, you know, indeed something that can't be from the Creator. One mistake, if there's one mistake, it can't be from the Creator, is that right?
That's correct. And it's miraculous in nature. And when a person wants to read the Quran, read it with an open heart. And read it realizing that we're human beings, we're created by the Creator of the heavens and the earth. And you would see clearly how the message is from the Creator that fits the nature of every human being. Very simple, very easy. And to do what is right and to stay away from what is evil. He created evil and good things for a reason. You would never be able to see what is right unless there is some things that are wrong. This is the nature of this life because it's a test in itself. So you would find the wisdom of the Creator of the heavens and the earth being explained and with the stories of the messengers and the struggle between the truth and falsehood and what happens to the people of the truth, what happens to the people of falsehood. So it's definitely a great thing. It's a waste of life when a person doesn't read the Book of Allah.
Tell us, we mentioned there's prophecies in this Quran, no mistakes, there's no contradictions. You mentioned some of the science in the Quran, mountains and the development of the human being. Isn't it true that when the Muslims, those who have submitted to the will of God, when they were living by this Quran, that you know they were like the superpower of the world? Is this true?
That's true.
They were at the advancement of society.
Right. Usually people, when they think of those who hold fast to religion, they become backward and they live the dark ages because it's all fairy tales and things that is against what facts and science and what life of the people is. In Islam, it's the total opposite. When Muslims stayed away from or turned away from the Quran and its teachings and so on, they became backward and they became humiliated and so on. So when people, they hold fast to the Book of Allah, they were superior in the land, and their whole entire life changed. They, for example, the Arabs, they were just nomads, and they're everywhere, and they were humiliated by everybody. But when they hold fast to the Quran, they led the whole world. So why? Because the Quran actually gives you the purpose of your life, that everything will make sense. People, they suffer when it comes to matters of the religion because they have been taught that religion and money or your success in this life, they go against one another, either or. In Islam, it's not the way. You'll be more successful in this life. You'll be happy, you have wife, children, work, successful in all of this. But all of that makes sense that because it's all from the Creator of the heavens and the earth. And you'll be taught how to be a father, how to be a husband, how to be a son, how to be a worker, how to be someone leading others. So it keeps you in your occupations. You don't have to be one thing or the other. You can stay in your occupation, but to be the best human being in whatever occupation you have. We'll teach you that.
Some people might think that because of a lot of the false propaganda that the Quran is a book of violence. What would you say to this?
This is absolutely a wrong statement, and anybody can claim anything, and that's why the book is there. We're not hiding anything from the book. We don't have another chapters that we hide for us as Muslims that we, in dark rooms, we open and read it. The book is out there, and it's memorized by millions of people. Read it and see what the Quran says, and don't take things out of context. Because, yes, as a part of life, there is violence on the face of earth. Quran regulates this. It makes you see what's happening in the world. and how things to be, how to react with all of what's happening. Some people, they get caught up, how can this world be a perfect world when it's all so much evil and killings and atrocities and so on? It meant to be this way because God wants from us to worship Him in different levels of worship, to worship Him with patience, to worship Him with struggle, to worship Him with love, with fear, with hope, to be or fulfilling all these means with means of worship. So when you would see in the Quran that when people think of religion, that when you apply the religion, you would find, oh buddy, everybody is good and the earth is just the birds and the, it's not like this, right? This is a life that it's a test in itself. But you will be happy in the midst of all of this. You will understand why things are happening the way it's happening. Different levels of worship. Worship is not just to sit and do some rituals. It's more than just rituals. It's everything in your life. It's the time of struggle, it's the calamities, it's the good things and so on. And that's why people, they run away from religion, right? Because they think religion is just an ideal world that doesn't exist. No, this is the reality of this life, and that's what the Quran would teach you. That you can be extremely happy and enjoy in the midst of all of these craziness. Because really, the place of it is in your heart. And you would understand there's a reason for this, there's a purpose of this. So my position to be living and to be kind to others when they're not, and so on and so forth, while knowing that there's a reason, a wisdom behind it, and how to act then in the midst of all of this, it's all in the Quran and in the way of the Prophet ﷺ.
What are some of the benefits to memorizing the Quran? And then obviously we talked about, you know, the miraculous nature of the Quran. So those who live by Islam now, they profess to be those who have submitted to the will of God, the same profession that Jesus made. He was a Muslim. He worshipped only the Creator, and they lived by Islam, submission to the will of God. Now you're a Muslim, but we see the Quran's been abandoned. It's on the shelf collecting dust, and it comes down maybe for Ramadan or when someone dies. Do you see a lot of this happening?
Right, and this is a very sad thing. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum that were supposed to follow their way, the companions of the Prophet sallam, Quran was not just a book that they seek some blessings from it once in a while. Quran was their life. They learned the Quran to live their life according to the Quran. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud and the ones that came after him, one of the tabi'in, one of the second generation, he said, we took the Quran from the companions radiallahu anhum in such a way, 10 verses at a time. We would recite them, learn the rulings of them, and act according to them, and then we would go to the next set of 10 verses. This is how the Quran was in their life. And where is that in our life? We, and actually I would take this opportunity and call myself and everyone, take the Quran seriously. Learn the Quran, set verses after set of verses. Learn it, of course, from the right sources. Memorize the Quran and don't say, I'm too old, it's only for the children. Repeat the verses over and over again, even if it's a word a day, a verse a day that you would repeat all the time. 15 minutes, half an hour, but never give up whatsoever. And learning the meaning of it, and while you're learning the meanings, how am I going to act according to what this verse means? And this is how the Quran will change our life, and wallahi, by the will of Allah, your life will be totally such a happy, contentment, peace, by just constantly reading and pondering and reflecting and acting according to the word of Allah, the word of the Creator of the heavens and earth. What a waste when people are just talking and talking and reading, but neglecting the words of the Creator of the heavens and the earth and not learning it from the beginning to the end. Even if it takes 10 years, 20 years, even if a person dies before that, intentions goes beyond one's actions. But to start today and every day, there's no day passes unless you open the Quran, you read something in it, you repeat and you memorize even one word of it, you reflect upon some verses in it, and you would think to yourself, did I act according to this today or not? And tomorrow and after tomorrow. And this is how we transform ourselves to be the people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want on earth to receive the ultimate joy in this life and the hereafter.
We're going to take a break, Shaykh. We'll come back with more here talking about the verbatim word of God, the Quran. Pick it up, read it, live by it, understand it, implement it. We'll be right back with more here on The Dean Show.
I want you to imagine you wake up and in front of you are a bunch of guys running around kicking a ball. No goals, no lines, no rules. What would you think? But is that your life? Surely every sport has its goal. Every game has its end. It has its objective. It has its rules. How about life? How about our life? Isn't there a goal to life? Isn't there a purpose, an objective that we have to reach? We think so. The Quran tells us that we exist in order to worship God, and worshiping God means knowing God, as the Quran says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Worship, though, is not some narrow, small thing. It's wide, it's vast, it encompasses everything that the human being does. Everything that you do, everything that you think, everything that you feel can be done, thought, said, felt in a way that is either pleasing or displeasing to God. The purpose of life is to try and do everything in a way that God loves and God is pleased with. That is your goal.
Back here on the Dean Show, and we're talking about the verbatim word of God, the Quran. Now, there's a statement that was made by the last final master, Prophet Muhammad. Can you comment on this? I'm going to practice my Arabic a little bit. You correct me and get some good practice now. Al-Quran hujjatulaka aw alayk. Can you define this and tell us what this actually means?
Al-Quran, the book of Allah, hujjatun. Hujja means an evidence established without any doubt whatsoever, either for you or against you. So when you say hujja, that means if I tell you the evidence of something, it would not leave you with any doubts. Something very strong, something so profound that you won't be able to have any doubt whatsoever. So this is what the hujja means. So the Quran is hujja. The Quran makes the reciter of the Quran would be appalled of how strong the evidences and the clear statements are mentioned. Very precise, no ambiguity, no unclear things. And then it says either for you or against you, meaning when you read the Quran, now you would find for yourself, you would find yourself, I don't want to say forced, but by necessity, you have to believe in this. This is very clear. Otherwise it becomes against you in the day of resurrection, because why didn't you follow the truth? The truth has characteristics to it, one of which, once you see it, once you read it, it becomes very clear to you that this is the truth. But take away the arrogance, take away the diseases in the heart, the ways of the forefathers, the pressure of whatever, right? These things are negative, evil things. So, but we are being tested with regards to our hearts, that is this is something that we believe is the truth or not. Otherwise, it would come in the Day of Judgment and it will be the reason for people to enter the hellfire. You read the Quran, you get to know the truth. Why didn't you follow it? Why didn't you apply it in your life? And the same thing if you're a Muslim. Where are you from the Quran? The orders of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to do certain things, forbade us from something. And we know that for sure, and this is the words of Allah. Why are you turning away from it?
Can we apply this, Shaykh, now that we see today, we have the cyber bubble, and there's a lot of good that could be accomplished, you know, if we use a lot of these things, Facebook, Twitter, you know, and the media to go ahead and to help deliver the purpose of life and to share the truth with the people. But now, if you are, let's say, one who's submitted to the will of God, a Muslim, and you find yourself on you know, following many of the Facebook and the internet, and now if you add up your time, for instance, at the end of the day, and you spent here, let's say, 3 hours, a lot of it's useless time, you know, gossip, and, you know, just nonsense. But over here, when your dedication to the Quran is almost zero, is that proof that's going to be against you? Now, you had time for useless chit-chat or jibber-jab, but over here, you didn't even put 5 minutes in. Is that a problem?
Definitely it's a problem. And that's why, especially in the world that we live in, you have to set a time for you to read the Quran and to ponder over it. Pick the best time of your day, where you can focus and so on. And again, it doesn't have to be an hour. It can be 15 minutes. But with dedication, with sincerity, right? And whatever you read, understand it. Even try to memorize it. Repeat it a lot and get to know the meanings of it and apply it in your life. And take the matter step by step. Not on your own, of course. We need to learn from the people of knowledge and so on, especially if it's rulings. This is permissible, this is not permissible. But most of the Quran is about things that we can relate to. Creation of Allah, calling us to worship Him alone, to put our trust in Him, to have what is the meanings of life, what is the ways of Allah on earth, so that we would see things coming ahead and how to be steadfast now when it doesn't make sense for you now, but you know what's coming ahead and things like this. So we can relate to most of the Quran like that. Rulings, halal, haram, and permissible and not permissible, yes, we need to ask the people of knowledge and so on. But definitely the call is for everyone, and I hope this can find really somebody that would have the proper way of listening to this. We need to recite every day, even if it's 10 minutes. You should try to memorize every day, the best of your ability, every day, even for 10 minutes. And most importantly, to act according to the Quran, so that when we're reading the Quran, okay, I'm applying all of this in my life.
I mean, there is no wasted time learning the Quran, is there? Over here, you're wasting time and probably picking up a lot of bad deeds, seeing things you shouldn't see. But is there any time, if you spent just 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15, have you wasted any time?
Definitely,
even if you struggled with it?
Definitely not. And I would tell you something that makes it easier. If you think and try this, and you would find it true. If any time you would leave the word or the portion of the Quran that you read every day because you're busy with something, you would never fulfill that you are busy. What were you busy with? Never. The Quran never take you away from fulfilling the things that you need to do every day. One of the early generations of Islam, he said, I start reciting the Quran, and every time I recited the Quran, I found that my time is more blessed and I can do more things. And I kept increasing and increasing till I recite 10 juz a day. That means he finished the Quran every 3 days, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed his day so much that he can do even more in it. These are the things that will be amazing that you cannot really write it with the pen and paper. This is something that you would see in your life. But be truthful and give the time to the Quran. No matter how much time you give to the Quran, you would find the blessings in the rest of the day that Allah will bless your relationship, your life, your everything, getting the family together and to get them to read the Quran and to understand the Quran. And if you can't read, if it's difficult for you, the difficulties that you go through give you double of the rewards, as the Prophet ﷺ. This is the mercy of Allah. This is what he said, that the one that recites the Quran, meaning that like you're doing like this, you're not able to read fluently. You get two rewards. One reward for the recitation, one letter is with 10 rewards, is better than the whole word or whatever it contains. And one reward is for the struggle that you go through. Till you reach the level where you can fluently recite it, you will be like with the scribes, with the angels.
Amazing. This is indeed the truth. You've beautifully explained it, and hopefully we can implement it in our lives.
Ameen.
And be successful in this life and the next.
Ameen.
Thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum. So some tips here for you. Really important. It behooves you to read this book, to live by this book. It was sent as guidance for the whole of mankind. If it's your first time tuning in and you got to hear about the Quran, go ahead and you can call us 1-800-662-ISLAM to get the free Quran. And it's very important, you know, to not be apathetic to this very important subject that we're talking about. This leads back to the purpose of life, you know, the same way that the PC and the Macintosh comes with an instruction manual. The Creator throughout time, He sent instructions on how He wanted us to live. And this was through the messengers of God, Jesus being one of those, Abraham, Moses, and all the other messengers that came with the same believable message. Worship the Creator, the maker of mankind, not the creation, not a stick, not a stone, not a bone, not a man, not a woman, nothing in creation, but the Creator. That makes sense. And obey the messenger that was sent to you, Muhammad being the last and final messenger, whose message was the same as Jesus. They never called people to worship themselves or saints or dead people. They called you to worship the one Creator. So ask the Creator for guidance and start to do some homework, some legwork. You know, because the people who have power, money, and fame, they still can't find contentment, because peace is something you can't buy. You can't buy a six-pack of peace. Peace and contentment, prosperity, comes from living the purpose of life, and that purpose comes from the Creator of life. So call us, 1-800-662-ISLAM, to learn more. Be sincere. Be earnest and look into this, and follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and visit us here every week at The Deen Show. We'll see you next time, God willing. Until then, peace be with you.